filling up the sky with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord, at your name. The morning breaks in glory at your name. Creation sings your story at your name. Angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Shout your name, O Lord. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your praise. Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
Amen.
All right. You need to put these little arrows on the thing here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome, High Desert Baptist Church. Glad you are here today. Got a few announcements, or several announcements, actually. But at first, we'll start off with last week during the quarterly business meeting, I said, you know, and I'm encouraged, you know, there's more people here today. And I had little sayings that I said I was going to share every week, and last week's was, if you think Born Again is a sequel to the Born Identity, then you need to be in church more. That was last week. This week is, if you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, you need to go to church more. No, she wasn't? Sorry to burst your bubble there, John. Yeah. But anyway, glad you guys are here this morning to hear this brilliant stuff. So the announcements, we got our Valentine's banquet is this Friday. It's at 6:30. And the men on Thursday night, those of you guys that come out to our Thursday night men's group, we will be setting the tables up. And then on Friday morning at 9 a.m., anyone that can help, please come. And we will be decorating and doing whatever Lynn says, that's what we do. So that happens at 9 o'clock Friday morning. Okay, so the men will be setting up Thursday evening. And then whoever wants to come, or if you're available and you're able to come and help, please come. And again, it starts at 6:30. You know, the doors will probably be open at 5 or 5:30 or something like that. And all you have to bring is a side dish, a salad, or a dessert. So the church is supplying the meat part of it, which is carne asada and chicken. So you bring whatever you feel like you would like to share with the rest of us. And right now we've got 57, I think, signed up. So there's still room for more. So if you haven't signed up and you want to, just sign up. And there's also going to be raffles. There's those baskets down the hall there, raising money for the youth department. And you can get tickets. Doug and Janet, I think, are pushing them this morning, pushing the tickets. So if you want to buy some tickets to hopefully win one of those baskets. Please see them this morning. Our next movie night will be on Friday the 25th, so that'll be 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, really. So just kind of keep that in mind. The Spiritual Gift Workshop is on March 19th, and there's a sign-up. I think we got 8 on there as well. Church Council is meeting this Tuesday at 6:30, so if you're on Church Council... thanks, Dave. You clicked it over to announcements, didn't you? I always forget. Anyway. So anyway, Church Council at 6:30. And then tonight, or this afternoon, however you want to look at it, at 5:30, there is a concert of prayer at Sovereign Way Christian Church in Hesperia. It's at 5:30. You can come a little early, like around 5-ish. If you would like, and for fellowship, and then there will be prayer and worship there from many, many of the Southern Baptist churches in our association will be participating, and I myself am going to be praying in that. My topic will be Psalm 11, verse 3. So that's that. So please come. The address is on the, there's a sheet on one of those clipboards, has the address of the church. It's on Juniper, I think, in Hesperia. And that's at 5:30. So, have I forgotten anything? Anything? It's all good. Oh, yeah, there's food today. First Sunday of the month. If someone signs up, we actually have food on the first Sunday. And Estella signed up, and she's brought like 500 pounds of food, I think. That's a lot of food. So, anyway, Estella has brought some things. Vicky brought some things as well. I heard there's like a Snicker salad or something. Snicker salad.
There was
a Snicker. Oh, it's gone. Oh. So, anyway, I'm serious. I mean, she said there's a Snickers salad. So, it's got to be good, you know. So anyway, everyone is welcome to stay after and have fellowship around some food. And Estella cooked it, so it's probably pretty good. So, all right, that's it for that. Today's verses. We're continuing in Matthew, but I took this passage out of Mark for today. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you this morning grateful for another day, Lord, that we could come and praise you and serve you, worship you, Lord. Father God, thank you for a beautiful day. As it's been really cold, but today, Lord, the sun is out. It's warming up, Lord. Thank you for that. Just simple blessings, Lord. Simple blessings that you send our way. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, thank you for these that are here today. And we ask that you bless the service, Lord. May the singing, the teaching, the preaching, all that goes on here today, Lord, may it glorify you. For you indeed are worthy of it all. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, that came out pretty good.
Just a quick thing on the Easter musical that we're working on. Practice Wednesday night, so come on out if you would like to join us and sing for the Easter special, whenever that happens to be.
I haven't even looked. I've been too busy.
Anyway, sing with us this morning. Thank you.
When all I see is a battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, your love's around me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing possible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Sorry. So when I
fight on my knees, my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Okay, that's number three. Everybody stand up.
Say hello to somebody.
Morning, Dave.
Hello.
Good morning.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the dark.
You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only you. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only you.
Great are you, Lord.
To only
you.
You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only you. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only you. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only you.
Great are you, Lord.
To only you.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to only you.
Great are you, Lord.
To only
you.
You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
To only
everybody. Everybody said,
amen.
Call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner.
That's right.
That's his.
There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's name. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God calls me a fire. It's a little stronger. That's why I gotta say. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my.
Matthew chapter 9, 18 through 26. And since the Sermon on the Mount, which was chapters 5, 6, and 7, and now through 8 and 9, we've been seeing Jesus displaying power and authority over many things. Disease, despondency, disaster, disdain, demons, and now the final, the ultimate, we see his authority and power over death. And it's displayed in a story within a story. So we have, and I'm sure most of you, you know, have heard these accounts before. We have Jairus, a ruler of a synagogue, has a 12-year-old daughter, and she's, depending on which account you read, she's at the point of death when he talks to Jesus, or she may have already died. And we'll look at that briefly. And then we have, while he's dealing with Jairus, we have this woman with a issue of blood for 12 years that kind of interrupts the story, and they work together. It's a story within a story, and so we're going to see this play out through all three books that record it, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So now I'm going to have, as you can see on your outlines, I'm going to have the scriptures up here, but you can, if you're a Bible turner, you can put a bookmark at Matthew 9 and Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, because that's where we're going to be in all three today. And as we look, because the account on Matthew in Matthew leaves out a lot of things that are important to these accounts that we have. And so we're going to jump a little back and forth, but I hope it all plays out in an understandable way. And so let's read verse 18 of Matthew chapter 9. It says, while he spoke these things. Now, what was he speaking on? Remember, he's healed the crippled man. They lowered the guy down, and he healed him and saved him. And then he's approached by these people, John's disciples, which I talked about last week. John's disciples and Pharisees' students were all there, and they're challenging him on why do you not have your disciples fast? You know, they're challenging his spirituality. And he goes into, you know what, there's going to be new meat, and you know, there's going to be new wine, and you don't put a new wine in an old wineskin. You know, and what I talked about last week was the change that was going to take place. The bridegroom was going to leave. Jesus was going to leave, and everything was going to be different. He was replacing Judaism with Christianity, and that was the first hint of that. So he's in the middle of this. There's all these people around. Okay, and in fact, we read in the scriptures that we're going to look at today, throngs of people were there. And so he's talking about this new wine, and you don't put a new patch on an old garment, or it will destroy both, and all these things. And he's in the middle of this, and it says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. So we see here the ruler's request. The ruler's request. And to give a little bit more detail, because if you just read this, you don't really know as much as you could. So in Mark chapter 5:22, it says, behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue. So it wasn't just a ruler, because if I just see ruler, I'm thinking, you know, king or some governor or something. But no, this is a ruler of a synagogue. He's a Jew. He's probably either a Pharisee or a scribe. He's high up in this synagogue. His name's Jairus or Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and he besought him greatly. So, I mean, he's begging, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. And that's kind of the disparity we have. In Matthew, it says, my daughter is even now dead. And in this, it says, my daughter is at the point of death. And I think that has to do with who hears it. You know, Matthew hears it one way. You know, Luke heard it from Peter, it's thought. You know, or Mark heard it from Peter. You know, so there's different perspectives. And you could even say that, you know, maybe when he left his daughter, she was at the point of death, but maybe he figured she's going to be dead by the time he got back, you know. Hard to know what was going on in his mind, but the point is, the girl does die, and we find that out. She's either dead right now or she's about to die, and she will be dead before this conversation is over. And so she's at the point of death, and he says, I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And so we have this ruler, and you know, what gets me is, he's the ruler of a synagogue. He's there in Capernaum. Jesus has been doing all this stuff. All the stuff I just mentioned. He's been healing people, casting out demons. You know, he calmed the water. You know, he was ministering to hundreds, if not maybe more, people. word had gotten around. You know, he's been there for a while. He was there, and then he went across. Remember, he went across the sea, calmed the storm, came back, and he's there again. Jairus had to have known all this. So the question, you know, to me, it's like an application for today. Why do people wait so long to go to Jesus? You know, she was sick, obviously. Why do you wait till they're about to die before you go to Jesus? And then putting it in a spiritual realm. You know, you've heard of deathbed conversions. You know, why do people wait to die almost before they come to Jesus? And there's a few reasons. Pride. Pride's a biggie. Criticism, perhaps from their peers. People that know them. Oh, what? You got all religious on us, or, you know, something like that. Or even family. If you got family pressures, you know, from different belief systems within the family, you may feel pressure. There's a lot of reasons why people wait. And sadly, some never come at all. Some never come at all. But I'll give Jairus credit. He came. It took his daughter basically on the brink of death to get him to go. And you got to figure, if he's a Pharisee, probably was pretty tough for him. Probably was. Let me tell you, no matter where you're at, no matter what your position is or status or how prideful you are or what your family dynamic may look like, don't let any of those things keep you from Jesus. Don't let any of those things keep you from Jesus. So we see the ruler's request. In verse 19, it says, "And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." We see Jesus' readiness. His readiness. Jesus is always ready to minister. And it says, "And his disciples followed him." So the question for us is, do we follow? When Jesus goes somewhere, do we go with him? Or do we just go our way? He's ready. You know, he was in the middle of speaking, and this guy comes up with an urgent plea, and he says he just got up and, you know, okay, lesson's over, I'm going to go minister. And the disciples went with him. Where's Jesus going in your life? You know, where's God leading you in your life? Are you following? Or do you stay behind with the crowd? You know, that's something we always got to be thinking about. I made a commitment a long time ago that if God ever opened the door, I'd go through it. And over the years, that has tested me time and again, because sometimes I was glad to go, and other times I wasn't so glad to go through the door, you know, because of our flesh. We either our fear or our feeling of discomfort, you know, what are you asking me to do here, God? You know, that kind of thing. And I've had those moments, for sure. But I've even said no. One time I said no, and by the time I got home from where I was, I called up and said, "I'll do it." So, seriously, that happened. Because that's all he said to me all the way home from where I was. "Thought you said if I opened the door, you'd go through it." By the time I got home, I just called the guy up that had asked me to do a certain ministry, and I said, "Hey, when do you want me there? I'll go." And you know what? It was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, that ministry that I was in for those years, about 4 years. But Anyway, are we ready? That's what, you know, that was then, this is now. Are we ready to go when Jesus says go? So we see the ruler's request and Jesus' readiness to meet his need. And then comes the interruption. Because, I mean, get the picture. Can you imagine Jairus? You know, your daughter, you left your daughter, you figure if she's not dead already, she's going to be, she's really bad off. And I'm going to this guy that in my flesh I really, you know, not so sure about him, but man, my daughter is in this way, and so you know what? I'm going to go to him. He's the only hope I got. And he gets there, and he says, will you come? And Jesus says, let's go. And then, bam, this woman interrupts the whole thing. Because the throng is around him. And we see the woman's reality in verse 20. And it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. That says something. Now, we're going to go back to Mark, what I read a little bit ago. It says, Jesus went with him. So he's going. He's on the way. And much people followed him and, I love this, thronged him. You ever been in a thronging crowd? You're getting a bunch of people and they're just pushing against you and you're trying to go somewhere. And it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And you think about that. 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Can you relate? You sometimes wonder if the treatment is worse than the disease. You suffer many things. And spent all that she had. And did not get better. In fact, got worse. I mean, it's bad enough to go through all that stuff. But then if you're still sick, like when it's not working, That's a downer. I mean, that just gets you. It's like, why am I doing all this? And 12 years worth? It's a long time. And you need to understand what this woman's reality is. It was more than this. You got to understand where this woman's coming from. First of all, she had spent all of her living, so she's very poor. Now, she might have had a family. The Bible doesn't say. She might have had a family. She might have had a job of some sort. It says she spent all her living, okay, in one of the accounts. But listen, according to Levitical law, she was unclean. A woman with an issue of blood is unclean. And everything that she touches is considered unclean. She was banned from the temple, so she couldn't even go to church. Okay? If she was married, and in likelihood she probably was, her husband actually had the right to divorce her. Levitical law. He could divorce her. She had lost everything that was important in life. Anything that was anything. The ability to practice her faith, her family, her finances, fellowship. She was like a leper. She was like a leper. Alive, but socially dead. You know, she was alive. You know, she was living. But she was socially dead. Now, we have this little girl that is physically dead. But this woman for 12 years has been socially dead, unable to go anywhere, unclean, going to doctors and spending what money she had. That's her reality. That's how she was living for 12 years. You know, that term socially dead, it really comes alive here since in the last couple of years, hasn't it? People cut off from people. Socially dead. You know, Jesus comes to make you alive in every way. And that's what we're going to see here today. So we see her reality, and don't be lost on that reality. You know, many times, you know, you read this passage. Oh yeah, as a woman, she had a, you know, health issue for 12 years. But you know, you don't realize the price she paid for 12 years until you kind of look into what that culture did for that situation of cutting her off basically from everything. And so in verse 21, we see the woman's reasoning. You know, we see the request, the readiness, and then this woman comes in. We see her reality and we see her reasoning. For she said, Matthew 9:21, for she said within herself, just to herself, she sees Jesus. She's probably seen the miracles and heard of other things. And they're in the crowd. And she sees him. And she says within herself, you know, just to herself, if I can just touch his garment, I will be whole. I will be whole. You know, so here's the thing. She couldn't practice her faith. You know, she wasn't allowed to go to the temple, but she had faith. She had faith. If I touch his garment, I'll be made whole. You know, she had hoped she could just kind of touch his garment and get healed and kind of drop back into the crowd and, you know, not be noticed, you know, that kind of thing. But she was wrong. She was wrong. You know, when Jesus does something in your life, you can't hide it. It does something to you. And, you know, I said, if you meet the living God, it changes you. It changes you. But we see her reasoning. And what's interesting is, why would she even reason this? Up to this point, have you seen anybody reach out and just touch Jesus and get healed? No. I mean, he's been touching people, saying, you know, or been speaking to them, casting out a demon, or like the centurion, you know, servant, you know, just saying, okay, you know, you got faith, man. I never seen faith like this here in Judea, but you know what? He's healed. But, you know, we don't see anybody. Where did she get this? So you're waiting for the answer? Well, I don't know. I don't know where she got it. Well, you thought I was going to drop some big theological bomb on you. No. You know, it was just in her heart. So, you know, he's got this power. He's, you know, and I'm sure she probably didn't quite realize who he really, you know, and I don't think anybody really was really grasping yet that this was God in the flesh, but man, he was doing some stuff and people were thinking lots of stuff. And I think, you know, just in her own heart, she's just like, you know what, man, this guy's got, I know if I just touch him. I know if I do, I'll be good. And she did. She touched him. And so in verse 22, we see the woman restored. It says, but Jesus turned him about. He turned around. He was touched. Now, we'll get into, you know, there was probably all kinds of people touching him. Okay. But he says, he turns around. And he says, when he saw her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, more than that happened. We're going to look at Luke chapter 8 here. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living. See, there's all her living. So she had some kind of a job. She was making money somehow. All of her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any, came behind him, touched the border of his garment. Now, what Jesus would wear was, you know, the robe, but they had kind of a belt of cloth, and it had a fringe on it. And it's believed that that's probably what she reached out and touched, was the fringe of that belt. And immediately, her issue of blood staunched or stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And when they all denied, see, when they all denied, so he stopped and he turns around, who touched me? And everybody's going, you know, Because you're thinking, am I in trouble? You know. It says, when they all denied, Peter and those that were with him said, Master, the multitude throngs you and presses you. And you're saying, who touched me? You're like, are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you. And here it is. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And that word virtue is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Power. Power went out of him, and he felt it. He felt the power, the healing power that he had. It went out of him. And he says, who touched me? Somebody's touched me. I felt power leave me. Remember how, many times after he was ministering, he'd minister, and he'd be very tired. It takes a lot out of you to minister. Even Jesus, even though he was God, he's in a human body. And it drains him. And so he knows when things are leaving him. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him. Think about that. She's unclean. She's banned from the temple. She's probably divorced, broke, in bad shape for 12 years. She's in this crowd she shouldn't be in. She touches someone that theoretically that would make him unclean. As if you can make Jesus unclean. But that's the way it was then. Anything you touch was considered unclean. And so she declares all this before all the people. I mean, she just, here I am. This is what was going on. For what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. I mean, she just felt it. I mean, and I've said this before, but for Jesus to heal like he did, he had to fix her. When he healed, let's say someone's blind. He healed several blind people, is recorded. I mean, what's wrong? Maybe the optic nerve is not attached, or maybe those cones and where the rods and cones are messed up, or burned maybe if somebody looked into the sun. There's people that have looked into the sun and got blinded by it. I mean, so when he would heal them, he had to have rearranged molecules and whatever to make them function again the way that they were intended. So something happened in her, whatever was bleeding, maybe it was, with a female, could be the uterus or something like that. Something was wrong in there, and blood was coming out, but she just felt it, And, she had to have felt that. I mean, Jesus, when he healed, he actually changed something in their bodies. It's pretty crazy, huh? I mean, do our doctors do that? No, not unless they do surgery. They go in there and change something in your body, But, he would just, and it would just, those, the tissue, would rearrange and do whatever it was supposed to do. And he, as the creator, he knew exactly what to do and how to do it. It's pretty amazing. But, she was healed immediately. Bam, she felt the blood flow stop. And she knew it was different. It wasn't just like it let up. It was like, this is done. She knew. I'm well. And he said to her, this is so good. Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Now here's the thing. Jesus wanted to do more than just heal her body. Okay? He wanted to do more than just heal her physical need. Now, obviously, we live in a physical body and we have physical things, and we would really like all these physical things to be fixed. Sure would make life easier. It'd be nice to not have pain and, you know, whatever it is you deal with in your life. I'm pretty much everybody here. If you're of any age at all, you're dealing with something. You know, your back or your whatever, you know, conditions like diabetes or, you know, whatever. Everybody's dealing with a lot of things, different things. And we like that, and it's important, and it's hard when you have to deal with things year after year after year, as many of you know. But he wanted to do more than that, because really, honestly, the physical is the least important. Your soul and your spirit are more important, folks. He wanted to do more. And I find it interesting. He calls her daughter. This is a woman that has no family. She's an outcast. Everybody has left her. But you know what Jesus said? You're part of my family. I'm not afraid to touch you. And it's okay if you touch me. I want to restore you. Remember the guy that was brought down through the roof, the paralytic man, back in the beginning of this chapter? What did he say? When this guy goes down in front of him, did he say, get up and walk? No. I mean, eventually said that. But what did he first say? Son. Calls him son. Isn't that interesting? Calls this one daughter. Calls this paralyzed guy son. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Because that's the most important thing. And he's calling this guy son. Yes, you're part of my family. And he calls this woman daughter. You're part of my family. You're about to be adopted. You're about to be adopted. You're in my family. He says, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Why? Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. This woman got saved. Her faith saved her. Look at this in Mark. Same account, but it's in Mark chapter 5. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And you know what's interesting there? That word whole, two different words. Two different words. The first one where it says thy faith has made thee whole, that's a totally different word than the one be whole of thy plague. The word be whole of thy plague is talking about a physical healing, health. The word thy faith hath made thee whole talks about the spirit. Talks about the soul. Your faith made you whole. And, kind of, I like the way Mark puts it, and, you know, go in peace, and you know what? Be whole of your plague too. I'll heal your body too. You know, it's not going to come back. You know, I'd like to, you know, it's never recorded, but I'd like to, I just wonder sometimes, like, these people that Jesus healed, did they ever get sick again? You know, I just wonder. You know, I don't know. It's not nothing recorded. I mean, they all died eventually, because everybody dies, but I just wonder. I mean, I wonder if, like the blind guy, I wonder if he had like 20/20 vision all the way till he died. Or the deaf, I wonder if they had like razor sharp hearing the whole rest of their life. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I kind of think they might have. Because when Jesus fixed you, you were fixed, man. You know? I don't know, though. I mean, it's not recorded. It's just something sometimes I think. I just think, you know, sometimes I think too much, I think. But anyway, I think too much, I think. But the point is, you know, she's made whole. She's not just healed. She's made whole. And that's what he told the leper. The 10 lepers that came and he healed them physically. He told them, go show yourself. And they went off. And as they went, they were healed. And one came back. And that's the one he said, first he said, where's the others? Aren't they going to thank me? And then looks at this guy. You're whole. Because that guy had faith. You know, I think the others, they received the blessing. You know, a lot of people have been blessed by Jesus that don't believe in him for salvation. Okay. Jesus wants to completely heal you. Because you know what? We're all damaged goods. We got fallible flesh. Our souls are a mess. That, you know, remember what the soul is. It's our mind, our emotions, our will, our intellect. That's the soul. And then our spirit, which is dead before we're, you know, it's just dead till you get saved. Very interesting. Then back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 23, the first part of it, we see Jesus gives reassurance. Now, Matthew doesn't really say it so much. He says, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house, so he's already at the ruler's house, but there was a conversation that took place before that. And we're going to look at this in Mark chapter 5, 35 and 36. It says, while he yet spake, remember, came from the ruler, synagogue's house. So while he's dealing with this woman, okay, Jairus has already come. You got to get the timeline. Jairus has come, asked him, will you come? My daughter's going to die, or if she's not dead already. He gets to go, and they're going. And then this woman, while they're going, this woman comes in, touches him. They has a conversation with this woman. Then, while he's speaking to the woman, there comes from the ruler of the synagogue's house, from Jairus' house, comes a messenger. And it says, your daughter is dead. Why are you troubling the master any further? It's like, don't even bring him. She's dead. Because Jesus, you know, he cast out demons and healed some people, but he can't raise the dead, can he? Well, as far as they knew, no. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. He gave Jairus hope. I mean, you're saying, hey, here's the messenger, your daughter's dead. I can just see Jairus going, oh, if this woman, I mean, who knows how long he ministered there with that woman? Who knows how far away the house was? Maybe he could have already been there. You know, we don't know. But I could just see, you know, he's probably standing there. He's dealing with this woman. He's probably thinking, you know, let's go, you know. Then comes the messenger. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus heard it. And he says, don't be afraid. You know, it seems like every time God is going to do something great, when you read the Word of God, it says, don't be afraid. You know, when the angel came to Joseph, you know, his fiancée's pregnant. I'm going to dump her. You know, just modern terms. And the angel comes and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take her. Take her as wife. This is of God. Mary, you know, angel comes. Pooh, what's this angel? Don't be afraid, Mary. You've been chosen. In many, many places in the Bible, when angels appear or when Jesus appeared, there's those occurrences in the Bible where Jesus comes in bodily form. In the Old Testament, he always says, don't be afraid. Why? Because, man, when we see something crazy, it kind of scares us a little bit. He says, don't be afraid, Jairus. Don't be fearful for your daughter. Just believe. Just believe. Look at this. In Luke, it gives us a little more. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And there's that word whole again. And it doesn't mean healed. It means whole. Just like the other woman was made whole. It's quite a reassurance, if you ask me. And so then we go back to Matthew chapter 9. So in verse 23 and 24, Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making the noise. And he said to them, "Give place." Give place simply kind of means get out. "For the maid is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. We see the mourner's reaction. You see, in those days, somebody would die. You had professional mourners. And there was people that would come with these instruments and they'd play this kind of sad music. And these people, other people would be there wailing and crying and all that. We see the mourner's reaction. We'll read about more in Mark chapter 5. It says, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.' And he suffered no man," or allowed, suffered means allowed. "He allowed no man to follow him." So here we get more detail. He just brought, before, remember, all the disciples went with him. His disciples followed him. That includes the ones of the 12 plus anybody else that was following him. But now he says, "You know what? Only Peter, James, and John is going with me." And he came to the house and he saw the, like this, tumult, where we get our word tumultuous. That kind of gives you an idea of what was going on. It was crazy in there. I'm sure as they were approaching, they could hear it. And it says, "And them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he came in, he said to them, 'Why are you making this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him," that would be Peter, James, and John, "and entered in where the damsel was lying." So, here's the thing. I've been to many bedsides where people have died over the years. Many. And their loved ones are there. And they're crying, but they're typically crying pretty quietly. They're just sitting there and, you know, they're not, you know, which is what these people were doing, okay? And you try to just be there for them. You put a hand on them and just try and be there. You're just, your presence usually is all you can do. Just let them know you care. But you know, fake grief is noisy. The wailing, the musicians. You know, rivers are most noisy where they run shallow. Now, you ever been on the big rivers? Man, it looks quiet on the surface. But if you jump in there, you'll find out the river's moving. But when that river hits the shallows, that's what we call the rapids. And it gets really loud. I've been on those rafting trips and it gets pretty crazy too. It gets your attention. But he just says, "You know what? Cut it out. She's asleep." Now we know sleep is a word for death in the Bible. You know, but you know, only her body was dead. Her soul and spirit weren't dead. Well, her spirit might have been dead if she wasn't saved. But her soul was alive. But these people did not understand the spiritual, so they mocked Jesus. And you know, that's what happens today, isn't it? When you talk spiritual things to people that aren't spiritual, you'll get mocked. You'll get scorned for your faith. They did not understand that the soul and the spirit are separate from the body. I mean, right now we're all alive physically, so our soul and spirits, it's there. But when your body gives out, as it will one day, every one of us, our bodies will give out, your soul and spirit goes on. And Jesus was teaching them something here. Soul and spirit don't sleep. You will not scorn me. Get out. He just gets them out of there. And then we see in verse 25 that the girl is raised. But when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Mark's is better. And he put them all out. I like that. He put them out. And he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." In another place, it gives you the Hebrew, like Talitha Kumi. Something like that. It means, young woman, get up. And look here. And her spirit came again. Her spirit was gone. She was dead. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, immediately. She immediately got up. And he commanded, give her meat. You know, this is not a ghost. Remember when Jesus appeared in the upper room? And he ate with them because they thought he was a ghost at first. Ghosts don't eat, folks. You know, they put food in there. I guess it'd just fall on the floor or something, right? You know, if they didn't have a body, you know? So this is, he's saying, give her some food. Watch. She'll eat it and it won't fall out on the floor. She's not a ghost. She's alive. She's alive. She was made whole. Now she's completely alive. You know, we are all born and we have a soul and we have a body and it's alive. But your spirit is dead. You are born separated from God. But that day, whatever way it took place, that God ran you down, and you realized your need of a Savior, and you asked Him to forgive you on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. You know what God does? He does exactly what He did to this girl. He raises you from the dead. And your spirit comes alive. And now you can have a connection with God because we can only reach Him in truth and in spirit. It's the only way. If you don't have a live spirit, you cannot connect with God. It is just that simple. It's interesting, and you've probably noticed it in the past. It's interesting that the woman that had the issue of blood had it for 12 years, and this young girl was 12 years old. So, you know, what is there some meaning there? Well, I think, and I've seen a lot of people say a lot of things, but I just honestly think it's contrast. I just think it's contrast. This young girl, 12 years old, she's probably pretty healthy most of the time, if not all the time. She probably had 12 years of joy in her father's house, her mother's house. The whole family had a lot of joy. And then she had an acute illness happen. Something very sudden, deadly, as it turned out to be. And then you have this woman that had a life for a number of years, we don't know how many, but then she got something wrong with her, and then for 12 years, she was chronic. She had a chronic condition that only got worse no matter what they did. And so for the whole 12 years of this family, they're having fun with their little girl, and living life and enjoying life. And this woman's in misery for 12 years. But in the end, God has the answer for both of them. You know, some of our problems, they happen suddenly and they're gone suddenly. Some of our problems, yeah, they may seem like they happen suddenly, but they don't go away. And they go on and on. And we keep dealing with them and dealing with them. And maybe it gets worse or whatever. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus has the answer to them all. There's a reason for it. He's doing something in your life and He wants to heal you. And, you know, for some of us, the healing may take place in this life. For some of us, the healing may take place in the life to come. Either way, you're healed. Either way, you're healed. But the most important part is the soul and spirit. And that's what Jesus came to do. Because our spirit could not be resurrected until He was. She was made whole. She was now completely alive. Her spirit came. She had the faith of a child, I guess, after that. You know, because she was a child. And then in verse 26, the event is reported. And the fame went abroad into all that land. And in the other accounts in Mark and in Luke, it says he told them not to tell anybody. Are you kidding me? You raise someone from the dead and nobody's going to say something? I mean, all those mourners, he told them to get out. They were probably just went outside and they probably hanging around. We're going to see what this guy's doing. Then all of a sudden this little girl comes walking out of the bedroom or wherever she was and sitting there eating and everybody looking through the window. Are you kidding me? And you don't think that got repeated? All over the place? Do not we all have something to repeat? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has raised you from the dead. The spiritual death that you had, that you were in, does not that bear repeating? That's why I have the title of this, Share the Good News. Those people went out and shared the good news. The fame went all over the land. Jesus raised this girl from the dead. There's nothing that guy can't do. I mean, yeah, it was pretty cool watching him heal the leper and heal that paralyzed guy and the woman with the blood. And, you know, that was pretty cool. Stopping the wind and the rain and the water, the storm. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But raise the dead? Only God can give life. Really. Now you're getting the picture. You see, Jesus uses the physical to illustrate the spiritual. That's what the parables were all about. Why did he speak in parables? Because it was all about physical things that we do every day, handling money or, you know, growing crops or, you know, whatever it was that those parables were about. It was all things that people did, but it was all with the purpose of teaching you a spiritual truth. Yeah, Jesus raised a physical body to prove that, you know what? You're spiritually dead and you need your spirit revived. The Bible records three times that Jesus raised the dead. Jairus' daughter, who had just died, she had just died when he got there. Probably within a half hour, something like that. The widow's son at Nain. There was a funeral procession. This is so cool. A funeral procession. You know, they've already done their thing with the body and all that, and they put it on this thing, and now they're marching through town, you know, to the cemetery. Modern terms. They've got him in the hearse, and they're going down the road to the cemetery, and then Jesus raises him up right there. Guy just gets up. Whoa. And the third one was Lazarus, 4 days after he was dead and buried. He's already decaying. So you got one that had just died, one that's been dead for a while, but not real long time, and then One that's been dead 4 days, buried, decaying in the ground. Do you understand there is no death that Jesus does not have authority over? Do you understand that anybody can call on the name of Jesus and be forgiven and have eternal life? No matter how long, you know, there's people that accept Christ as a very young child. My wife was like that. She was like 9. I was 32. I was kind of the widow's son. And then there's some people that are really old and, you know, they've lived a life that's been in the face of God the whole time, but and they've been dead a long time. And God saves them too. God raises their spirit from the dead too. Jesus has complete and total authority over death. All death. Physical, social, and spiritual. You know that woman with the issue of blood? Socially, she was dead. You know, He can restore your fellowship. He can restore your family. How many marriages have been dead that Jesus has saved? How many financial situations were dead that Jesus has saved? How many families have been destroyed that Jesus has put back together? If people are willing, people will allow Him to, because we have free will. You can stay in your sin, folks. You can certainly choose to do that. But we don't have to. He's got complete and total authority. Physical, social, spiritual. Jesus gave us life. And He wants to give life to everyone. You know, if you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are truly alive. Because you have a spirit that's alive. Those that don't, aren't. They don't understand these things. You tell them this stuff, they won't believe it. Because they're not spiritually discerned. They look at it, and they can read the words and understand what they say, but they don't see how it applies to their life. And that's because it doesn't. They're dead. But He gave us life. He gave me life. And He wants to give life to everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. That's why He sent His Son. That's why God sent His Son. He's not willing that any should perish. So let's just share the good news. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. We got something to share, folks. We all got something to share. There may be someone here today that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. What will it take for you to come to Jesus? I'd say there's a lot of testimonies here that of people that maybe ran for a long time or, you know, it took. Sometimes people just, you know, as a child, they just have faith and they believe, and that's really cool. But then there's other people that sometimes it takes something what we would call really bad to happen to get their attention. I remember a long time ago, gosh, I was trying to minister to this couple. This was, gosh, 25 or 30 years ago. Just came to my mind, so I'll share it. But I mean, I went over to the guy's house, and his wife was down the hill. He was up there. He had turned to drinking, and he said he was a Christian. I mean, I can't see the heart. I mean, maybe at one time he had accepted Christ and just kind of let everything go. I don't know. Don't know his heart. But, you know, he had enough belief that he asked me to come and talk to him. And I said, I said, what's it going to take, man? How much have you got to lose before you'll turn to God? Because his health had gone down the tubes. He'd become an alcoholic. The only reason he still had a job was he worked for the county. And they have about 1 million programs or something that they'll put you through before they'll fire you. He worked for Caltrans, actually. Okay, it wasn't the county, it was Caltrans. So, but, you know, I said, now your wife's down the hill with another man. Your daughter is shacked up with some guy. I go, what's it going to take, man? I mean, I just blunt, you know, so you see, when you want to counsel with me, you might get it right in your face. But, you know, it was truth. I said, God is trying to get your attention, man. How much have you got to lose before you'll turn and start doing things His way? And you know what? It got worse. Because then I got a call like a few nights later from his wife. And I go over there. She had been over there for some reason. And I went over there. And another guy went with me over there. And we're talking to him. And all of a sudden, he comes out of the bedroom with a pistol and he's holding it to his own head. And the guy sitting next to me, he goes, they don't teach you about this in seminary. You know, he's holding the pistol to his own head. And, you know, and I'd like to say it had a happy ending, but it didn't. I mean, you know, he didn't kill himself, but that's about the only good thing that came out of it. But I was like, what is it going to take, man? He basically lost everything. But he wouldn't turn to God. Wouldn't do things God's way. That's an extreme example, but you know, what's it going to take for you? You know, maybe you're saved. You know, that's for the unsaved. If you're unsaved, what's it going to take, man? Is it going to take someone to die in your family? Is it going to take some accident happen to you? You ever heard people, you know, the pastor that married my wife and I that performed the ceremony, you know, he had one arm because he was running from God. He was called to the ministry. He didn't want to go, and he blew his arm off in a hunting accident. Got his attention. I always remember he had an arm, and he had a fake arm, and it was shaped like this. And he, you know, thing never moved. You know, it was just plastic. But you know, for a lost person. But you know what? For saved people, what's God trying to do in your life? Same question. What is it going to take for you to go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do? What's it going to take? Are you ready to follow? Like the disciples were? Jesus is going to go. They're going to go with him. All the way at the end of the ministry, when Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem, you know, and it's like, you know, he's going to get killed there, of course. We know that. They didn't at the time, but they knew nothing was good. And the disciple, he says, okay, let's go to Jerusalem. And I think, I don't know if it was Thomas or one of those, but he goes, well, let's just go with him and die. You know, words to that effect. Let's just go with him and die with him. You know, but are you willing? But at least they were willing to go. I mean, didn't have the best attitude in the world, but they were willing to go. But are you ready to follow? Are you ready to minister what he would have you minister? Are you ready, willing to share with who he would have you share? Are you willing to do what he would have you do? You can trust him. You know, we a lot of times we don't do those things because we're afraid of where it might take us. but I've got this all worked out right here. But you know, God's got something better worked out for you. I wouldn't trade anything. You know, the stuff I've got to do, I wouldn't trade any of it for anything. It's just cool to watch God work. I didn't do it. He did it. But it's cool. It's cool to be a part of it. I don't know. Maybe I'm sharing this because I might have an opportunity for some of you soon. So you might. So I'll just leave you hanging on that. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But anyway. But you know, we got to be willing to whatever God has for us. And just share. You just, wherever you go, you share. But what will it take for you? Maybe you've been battling something and, man, just give up. Just give up and let God have you, you know? Let Him use you. It's not usually good when people use people, but it's really good when God uses people. Okay? Hope you're ready. Can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I need to do that. I recognize that now. And I'd like prayer about that. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you if that's the case. For the rest of us, is there anybody here that would say, yeah, I'm kind of in that boat where I wonder what it's going to take for me to do what God's asking me to do, and maybe I just found it out. Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, wow, I know I'm born again, and I've made a lot of decisions, but there's an area I need to follow Him that I've been kind of resistant, and I just need to get up and go with Him. Anybody like that? I'd like prayer. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, I need to be a little more, God's laid it on my heart, I need to share a little more than I've been. I need to share what God has done in my life. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, You came to give us life. Spiritually, socially, physically, abundant life, Lord. And the only thing, Lord, that keeps us from it is our decisions. I pray for these that raise their hand, Lord, that they want to be used in a greater way, and maybe they've been holding back for whatever reason, Lord. But Lord God, I pray that You would give them confidence in You, that You would increase their faith. Father, help them to not fear. Give them courage to simply obey You. Just to simply do the next thing, Lord. The next step on the path. And Father, for all of us, please open our eyes to Your will and open our hearts to Your word and Your spirit that we may follow You wherever You go. Meet with us here, Lord. May Your spirit bear witness with our spirit that we would have impact for You here on planet Earth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If God's dealing with you, you need to deal with Him. come before you and we thank you that you are the God of life. You give life in every area, Lord, whether it be our physical bodies or in our interactions with others, Lord, in our minds, Lord, in our emotions. You give life, Lord. But most importantly, you give life in our spirit. You have resurrected our dead spirits and brought us to life, Lord, that we could commune with you, that we could serve you, that we could meet with you and interact with you, Lord. And we thank you so much for that privilege, Lord. And Father, you did it all. You paid the price. You sent your Son. You worked it out all according to your will, that we might be in your family, Lord, that we all would be sons and daughters. We thank you for that, Lord, and just the incredible truth of that statement, Lord. Let it not be lost upon us, but help us, Lord, to live for you. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name.